It's been nearly 80 years since the Congress passed sweeping financial regulation. And after months of debate beginning all the way back in 2008, financial reform was approved by the Senate last night. For more details, we've got Todd Zwillick with us, our Washington correspondent, and Newsweek columnist Dan Gross joins us again to explain what's in this bill. Todd, let me go to you first. Russ Feingold and Maria Cantwell, those are the two Democrats you said yesterday that voted no on this bill, but they didn't change their votes. They were still no's. But
That's
we
correct.
Did see two new Republicans, Scott Brown and Charles Grassley, end up voting yes. Why did those two change?
Well, Scott Brown flipped. You know, Scott Brown was an interesting case, Celeste, because he was the guy who, the other night when Harry Reid didn't get the vote to cut off debate, said, "A senator broke his word with me." Well, that was Scott Brown. So it didn't appear like Scott Brown was too far from coming back over to the yes side. They flipped him, apparently with a guarantee that his concerns over something called proprietary trading would be addressed. Proprietary trading is when a firm uses its own internal money, not your money, as an investor to make sometimes risky investments and make even more money for their profit margins. Brown was a little bit concerned that the restrictions are too strict because insurance companies use proprietary trading, and there are a lot of them in Massachusetts. So he wanted to make sure that they could still use some forms of that trading. They flipped him. Chuck Grassley, well, he's up for re-election in Iowa. And like a lot of people, a lot of incumbents up for re-election, probably knows which way the winds are blowing in Iowa and didn't want to be viewed as being on the side of the big banks. He said the bill wasn't perfect, but he was voting for it.
Okay. Todd, fact check something for me. We're hearing that this is a bipartisan bill with something for both parties in it. How true is that?
Well, I think that that's true. Bipartisan in the sense that you saw Republicans, four Republicans vote for it. As you said, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins also voted for it, and a couple of Democrats vote against it. The truth about this bill is that Republicans had a huge hand in forming the internal structure of this bill. Now, by the time it got to the floor, there was a lot of back and forth, as you know, and Republicans delaying, and they never actually got Senator Richard Shelby to be a co-sponsor on the floor because agreements broke down at the end. But over months and months of negotiation with Chris Dodd, there were Republicans and Democrats at the table, and Republicans got a lot of stuff in this bill. They absolutely did.
Okay. Dan Gross of Newsweek, let me go to you first, because clearly I have not read this bill, and I may not understand large chunks of it if I did. So explain a few things to me. The first thing I want you to do is put this in context for me. David Herzenhorn of the New York Times says that this is the most sweeping regulatory overhaul since the aftermath of the Great Depression. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that is true, but in large measure only because the overwhelming trend in the last, say, 30, 40 years has been deregulation, you know, undoing some of those things that were done during the New Deal that separated commercial and investment banking. The overwhelming trend of the last 30 years has been less regulation, freeing Wall Street and financial firms to do whatever it is they want. So, you know, any bill that was passed today that made any attempt to rein in this industry would be the most sweeping in 80 years.
Okay, so this bill creates two bodies. The first is this powerful Bureau of Consumer Protection that's the Senate has set up within the Federal Reserve that's going to oversee almost all of consumer financial products. Does this bureau actually protect consumers?
You know, the devil is always in the details. I think what we realized during this last crisis is that it's not just enough to have regulators. We had the SEC, we had the Federal Reserve, we had people who were charged with overseeing the health of the system, and they essentially either slept or fell down on the job or lacked the proper incentives. So it's one thing to set up a proper structure or, you know, create this consumer protection group. It's quite another to have it staffed with people and to give it some teeth. And we've seen throughout the years that once these things get set up, the financial industry, you know, is always a very powerful lobbying force. And sometimes you get administrations that are not particularly interested in enforcing rules. I mean, the SEC under the Bush administration was a disaster. So
But can the Fed,
there will be this bureau created. The mere creation of it, however, does not mean we'll be in a new age of consumer nirvana.
And the fact that it's in the Federal Reserve, I mean, I can understand the Federal Reserve sort of regulating mortgage-backed securities and things like that that relate to consumers, but is the Federal Reserve going to regulate credit card fees?
Well, keep in mind, the Federal Reserve is charged with regulating banks. They are the ones that are supposed to be looking at the system as a whole. And I think part of the thinking was that the Federal Reserve is a less politicized agency. In other words, you know, if you put it in the executive branch or under the control of Congress, it's obviously much more directly susceptible to pressure from those bodies, whereas the Fed is an independent agency. And of course, yes, it does beg the question, because the Fed aggressively did not regulate subprime mortgages. There's all this evidence that came out that they decided not to do things. So we have to hope not just that we as a country have learned the lessons, but these institutions that are now being empowered
have
to do more have also learned the lessons.
You know, there's the other bureau that's or group that's created in here is a Financial Stability Oversight Council, which is supposed to, I guess, prevent another crash happening again. Do you think it could do that?
I don't know if it could prevent another crash from happening again. You never see the next one coming. The source of the problem, you know, 10 years from now, the source of a crash could be something going on in Brazil, given the level of integration we have. That said, the fact that there are a sort of group of people who are both empowered and expected to be looking at systemic risk and sort of doing this as their day job, not as one of 8 or 9 things, and not being able to sort of pass the buck and saying, oh, the SEC is supposed to look at that. Oh, the Fed's supposed to look at that. Oh, the market's supposed to take care of that.
So that was kind of like the buck stops here.
That should make things a little better.
Dan Gross, columnist for Newsweek and Slate. Todd Zwillick, how far away is the Senate version from the House version?
They're the same, Celeste, but there are some key differences between them. On consumer protection that Dan was just talking about, one key difference between the House and the Senate, you know, we were talking about how the Fed has control over this consumer protection agency. Other agencies under the Senate bill have the ability to veto any consumer protections that that board comes up with. And in the House version, they don't. So that's an important difference that's going to have to be worked out in a House-Senate conference. There are also differences on how much cash banks have to set aside for their trading. There's some differences on derivatives as well.
It's Barney Frank's turn.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaways Washington correspondent. That bill will have to be reconciled with the House before it goes to the president's desk. But the Senate version has been passed.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.